I had every intention on studying something with y'all tonight that I'm going to put off for a little while for various reasons. Tonight I want us to just look at a few things concerning our connection with Jehovah. The connection that I'm talking about is the connection of prayer. One thing we do know, that the Bible clearly teaches us that we ought to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I want us to think about that passage and think about what Paul is saying there as we consider a great woman of God in the Old Testament. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, for time's sake, we will just look at verse number 10. Just for time's sake, because I want to go from there and go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. Here we understand that Hannah had a problem. She was barren. She wanted a son. She wanted a child. Being mocked by the wife of her husband, the other wife rather, and there was a problem there. Caused bitterness in her soul, deep down in her soul. It's interesting that we see something in verse number 10 where the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She made a vow. She vowed a vow and said to the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Notice the affliction, struggles that she was going through. I think about that and how the Bible clearly teaches us again to pray without ceasing. Things that we have going on in our hearts, our soul, our minds, that we have to take to God. And when we take them to God, we leave them there. Friends, one of the hardest things to do is to cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. One of the hardest things, because what we want to do is take it to God, and, well, we'll pick it up right before we get off our knees. You think of Nehemiah chapter 1, and the problems of the people of God being in distress. And remember, Nehemiah being a cupbearer of Artaxerxes. We see something that's very powerful in the first couple of verses. Now, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Shislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came. According to Nehemiah 7, in verse number 1 through 4, Hananiah was a faithful man of God. Why would he listen to this man here? He would listen to him because he was faithful. And notice, and I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. That's interesting. Hannah was in great affliction, but for a different reason. Here we see that the people of God are in great affliction for a different reason. Nevertheless, affliction takes place in life. They were in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, meaning they didn't have protection. And the gates thereof are burned, meaning the enemy can go in and out. Verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, mourned certain days, fasted, and what? Prayed. It's interesting that God wants us to go to Him, wants us to have that connection with Him. Question, do we have that connection? The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse number 71, it's good that I have been afflicted. It's good that I go through trouble, struggle, strife, pressed, that I may learn your statutes. Last thing we want to do sometime is learn the statutes of the Lord through affliction, through suffering. We want everything to be hunky-dory at times. We want everything to be good. Friends, I think about what's going on in our nation, the shootings that's going on, the sin that's running rampant around us. Sometimes I think we're worried about the wrong things. People are losing their lives. I was talking to Evelyn between services today, and we were talking about the situation that took place in Texas. And I said, the devil's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. Why do you say that, Brother Mike? He's making it even to the point where people are thinking, I can't even go to the church building and be safe. Why go to church? Can't even be safe there. I said, you know, this is where the church ought to shine bright and say, we have a message of hope. We have a message that looks beyond the blue, if you will. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, Jesus did something that was powerful. I've used this passage before. It never gets old. It's amazing. You can read the Bible, and there are some things that just never get old. I'll tell you what gets old. When you think of Nadab and Abihu, reading that gets old. You don't read that too often. It's a good reminder. But what Jesus did in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a quiet, solitary place. The Bible says there he prayed. That connection was important for him to make that connection with Jehovah. John 17, he prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. Go to John 11 and look in verse number 41. John 11, verse number 41. Here we see something interesting. Here they took away the stone, place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said unto his Father, I thank thee, Father, that you have heard me. This is in the context of Lazarus. You think about this great miracle that Jesus was about to perform. And he didn't rely upon his own power. He relied upon the power of the Spirit, the power of God. He goes to God for everything. Friends, we need to learn that lesson. We need to learn the lesson all the time. Go to God for all things and in everything. Again, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, remember what Jesus was about to go through. And friends, we think about the tragedies that's going on around us, and rightfully so, it's difficult. It's hard to think about some of the things that people are going through. Our fellow men. I was telling Evelyn, you know, today, I was sitting there, I'm like, this makes me sad. It just makes me sad that these things that we got to go through down here, all because of sin entering into the world, Romans 5 and verse 12. Yet, we continue to do what we're trying to do in this life, and rightfully so. We got to keep living, got to keep moving forward, got to keep pressing forward. It's hard. Think it was hard for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? I bet you it was hard for him. Yet, we find this great man of God, and that's exactly what he was, a great man of God, as he is praying in verses 36 through 46. One of the things that really impresses me about Jesus Christ as he is praying, and some three times prayed the same prayer. Notice verse 46. Can you imagine having this type of strength, knowing that you're about to take on the sin of the world, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, knowing that you was going to play an active role in reconciling man back to God because man is sin? Notice what he tells his disciples, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Can you imagine being betrayed? Can you imagine knowing that you're about to be betrayed? What do you think you're going to do? What should we do? I think we ought to go to God in prayer. I don't think we spend enough time in prayer. I don't. I'm ashamed to even say that. We don't spend enough time in prayer. How often do we pray? In Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 31. You think about what Peter is saying here in this particular verse, quoting from Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Think about that passage there. Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through verse number 31. They're praying for boldness. That's an interesting concept. It's a novel idea, Brian, to pray for boldness. To pray for boldness in the face of adversity, in the face of affliction, in the face of a government that was against Jesus Christ, him crucified, and everything that he stood for, these apostles, these men of God, they prayed for boldness. Oh no, they didn't climb underneath a rock and hide. They didn't sit behind a computer desk and say, you know what, I don't have nothing to do with this. These men of God prayed for boldness, the ability to stand firm in the face of their affliction and continue to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people fight? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, that's the key. That's the key to the text. The kings of the earth, notice what they did. They stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Sometimes there's going to be opposition from those things, those people, those places that are in high places, but we have to pray for boldness. It's interesting that we ought to be preparing ourselves for whatever comes our way before it gets here. Praying for strength, praying for wisdom, praying for courage, praying for knowledge, praying for understanding. Those are the things that we ought to be praying for. In Acts chapter 12, first 17 verses, I'm not going to look at all of that. Make one point here. Peter and James are cast into prison. You remember that? They're cast into the prison, and you know it. The first thing that the church did, they went to praying. That's the first thing. Appreciate Brother Don mentioning those individuals that have been affected by this. Really, all of us have been affected. It should cause every last one of us to think. You know, once we get this radio station going, Brother Dennis, Brother Don, Brian, and get to talking truth, you never know who's not going to like what we have to say. Thought about that. Because we know flowery sermons are not going to be going across the airways all the time. Truth offends. And just like it offended the government back then, and just like James was cast into prison with Peter back then, and then James had his head cut off or killed rather. Don't let that scare you. If anything, let it fortify you. Let it strengthen you. Let it encourage you. Well, that's big talk. Well, the Bible is about big talk. God is the biggest talker you will ever come across. He said, you can do all things through my son who strengthens you. That's big talk right there, Mike. That's big talk. Question, do we believe that? I'm glad to see you smiling, Brian. I got somebody that agrees. Sometimes I don't think we understand that. I'm not talking about here at 9th and Main, but I'm talking about in Christ. Sometimes I don't think we understand the enormous nature of our God and how great he really is and how powerful his word really is. Yet he leaves it in the hands of frail men. Look at 1 John 5. I'm not going to keep you long. I do want to give you some words of encouragement, because if you're not careful, you'll allow circumstances and situations, things that go our way and things that don't go our way, and the things we read online, the things we see on television. We got all of these messages coming our way, Miss Mona. If you're not careful, we'll allow these things to come our way, and it will take us smooth off. I thought about that. You know, I ought to be able to go to God with God with everything that I'm going through, with everything that I'm thinking about. It doesn't matter what's in my heart, what's in my mind, what's in my life. I ought to be able to take it to God and God help me with it. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Notice what your Bible says. John says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence? We live in a world today where you can't really have confidence. Why? You can't really know truth. You know what? If you can't know truth, you can't have confidence. But if you know truth, you can have confidence. God exists. The Bible is right. Heaven is real. There is one church. The Bible is our guide back to God. We can be confident in that. Notice this, what he says. If we ask anything according to his will, hold on. If I read Ephesians chapter 5, that I can know the will of God. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Wow. Do I believe that? I venture to say many Christians don't. I know the world doesn't. Many Christians don't believe that. If I ask anything according to the will of God, the Bible says he hears me. Look at verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So what type of challenge does this pose upon me as a Christian? The challenge is that I must know the will of God. The challenge is for me to get into God's word, stop leaning to my own understanding, get into God's word, understand what he has said, get into God's word, and pray the prayers that I read in the Bible. That's the challenge. I don't pray for those things that are outside of the will of God. I pray for those things that are in line with the will of God. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants me to be a well-balanced individual, body, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He wants me to go out into the world and be that light of the world so people can glorify him. God loves glory. I ought to be praying for those things. I ought to be praying for my family and praying for my spouse and praying for my children and praying for my enemies. I ought to be praying not just for things that I need and I want, but I ought to be praying for everybody and everything, especially Lord's people. I ought to be communicating with God. I ought to have a connection with the Lord. If anybody ought to have a connection with the Lord, it ought to be the Church of Christ. It ought to be those who believe and know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins. So we think about this. Why pray? We pray because we want to give God thanks. I just want, Father, thank you for just being who you are. Thank you for allowing me to go through the struggles that I have. Thank you for allowing me to go through the pits of life, because in the pits of life, I learn who I am, like in Luke 15. Thank you for those times. Thank you for those times. Do not think that Jesus' life was hunky-dory. Do not think that David had a life that was full of milk and honey. No, it wasn't like that. David had some hard times. Yet, David always leaned upon the Lord. So, we pray to God. He hears us. One thing I love about Jehovah, he's sitting right on top of us. Isn't that beautiful, Mike? He's right on top of us. Sees everything. Hears everything. Understands what we're going through. In Philippians chapter 4, I'll leave you with a couple of these. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, let's throw in 7. Notice this attitude. You know, you look this up in the original language, Brother Dennis. The word rejoice is in the imperative. He's not suggesting this. He's not saying, if you feel like it. This is in the imperative. This is the same idea going to all the world. God, Jesus is not asking us to go. He didn't tell Ananias, okay, hey, whenever you feel like it, go tell Saul. No, he said, go. He's a chosen vessel unto me. Notice, rejoice. Hold on. Paul, are you saying that I am commanded to rejoice in the Lord always? Yes. I can't pick and choose when to rejoice? No. How often should I rejoice? Always. And again, I say rejoice. 16 times the word joy or rejoice or yes, is used in the book of Philippians. 16 times. You think Paul was trying to get a point across? Paul's trying to get a point across here. Look at verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's near. Be careful for nothing. Here it is. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Notice the attitude. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Drop down to verse 9. Let me show you this. He goes through these things that you need to be setting your mind on. And then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, notice, in verse number 7, he talks about the peace of God. And in verse number 9, he says, the God of peace. Oh, if I can understand the peace of God, then I'll know that I'll have the God of peace in my life. I see why people live hellish lives. I see why it's topsy-turvy in people's lives. No God of peace. No peace of God. We have people who would rather carry a peace, P-I-E-C-E, than to just have peace, P-E-A-C-E. Y'all get that when you get home. But which one would you rather have? The peace of God that passes all understanding. God wants us to be a people of peace. I'll leave you with this. Colossians chapter 1. Because in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Paul's talking to the brethren, encouraging them. He wanted them to have a mindset. Notice what he says. This is interesting, this pericope of scripture, this context here. Notice the spiritual condition that Paul wanted the people of God to have. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. It's a novel idea. Paul said, we've been praying for y'all. It's hard to pray for others when you're just thinking about yourself. It's hard to pray for others when you're not connected to people. It's hard to pray for others when you're not connected to God. God says, I need you to be connected. Notice, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know, when I'm filled with the knowledge of God's will, then I know what to pray for. And in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in order that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Here it is. Giving thanks unto the Father. Hold on. You can't give thanks unless you're praying. You can't give thanks unless you're connected. And God wants us to be connected to him. God wants us to have that relationship with him. He has sent forth his son, Jesus Christ. He's that propitiation. He's that satisfaction. He shed his blood for us. He wants us to give thanks. Be a thankful people. Which hath made us right or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Question. How's your prayer life? When we heard about those tragedies today, we should have been in prayer. Praying for our fellow man. The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to do that. Pray for those in authority. Supplicate for those people. Why? They're made in the image of God. Lives are totally affected. Friends, we have responsibility. And our responsibility is to stay connected with the God of heaven and have great confidence that he'll take care of us. If anybody ought to have confidence, it ought to be us. We ought to be putting on our social media page. We ought to be telling people that we come in contact with. Yeah, this tragedy that took place, it's very sad. It hurts us. We ought to stay in prayer. We ought to be looking for people, looking for opportunities to teach them what God says. Because all of these things took place because of sin. But what a great opportunity we have to send words of encouragement to help them in the midst of these tragedies. But also to help one another, to keep each other encouraged. I hope, pray, and trust that some of these words will help. I hope who's ever listening to it later on online will receive that encouragement. You'll be amazed, friends. You'll be amazed. The power of the internet. And when people listen to some of the lessons online that have been played years back, somehow I really needed that lesson. But I tell you, it's nothing like when someone says, I'm praying for you. Do not take that lightly. Let me tell you why. They're saying, I have a relationship with Jehovah. I respect and I honor and I praise Jehovah. And he hears what I have to say because I'm humble before him and he loves me. I'm going to take you to my Father who is in heaven. Brian, we take that lightly sometimes. I'll pray for you. The next time we say to someone, I'm praying for you, let's make sure that's what we're doing. Let's not tell someone I'm praying for you, but don't do it. Let's take that challenge and take that responsibility. And let's have our own personal relationship with the Father, which is in heaven through Jesus Christ. Let's take it serious, because God is a serious God who loves all men. And I know for a fact, according to what he said in Proverbs chapter 6 through Solomon, he hates the shedding of innocent blood. It hurts God when people do things the way that they're doing. And even though we know it's going on in other nations and other countries, we don't live in those other countries. We live in this one. So we have to do our part, making sure that we rear up a generation, children that love the Lord and respect him and have prayer life toward God. Teach your children how to pray. Cheryl, teach your children how to pray. Teach them to rely upon God now. So when the tough times come, from the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll know how to withstand the tough times. That's how good God is to us. We'll have a word of prayer off the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. Father in heaven, so thankful for this day. Thankful for your son, Jesus Christ. Thankful for these opportunities to kneel before you in attitude, knowing that you hear what we have to say, longing to hear what we have to say. We're thankful for that. We pray to Father that you be with our nation, be with our fellow man, and the hurt that they're going through right now. And sometimes, Father, it's just easy for us to hear things like that and not even blink an eye. Help us to be sensitive to our fellow man, knowing that if that was to happen to us, we would want someone to be sensitive to us, to our family. Help us to slow down and see who you are. Help us to have our eyes open. We know that the only way that that can happen is knowing who you are. Thank you for the examples that you have given us concerning those who have a great relationship with you. Women like Hannah, men like Nehemiah, men like David, and of course your son Jesus Christ. Help us to have that relationship. Help us to realize that you're the most important commodity in our lives. Pray that we'll never take that for granted. Father, I ask that you be with the church worldwide. Those who are strong, pray the Father that they will continue to be strong. Those who are weak, that they will seek you closer in humility through thy word, through patience. Pray to Father that they will allow themselves to be chastised by thee. For those whom you love, you chasten. Help us to be a people who love your chastisement. For in that, you teach us to be partakers of your holiness. Thank you, Father, for all of those things. Be with those who are hurting right now. not just from the tragedies, but just in life. Those among the church, those in our fair city, our town here, those in the congregation, help us, dear Father, to be a people that love to pray to you. Forgive us when we don't. Help us to get back on the right track of communicating with thee in everything, and picking up your word to hear from you. We love you, Father, and we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us never, ever be ashamed or get tired of telling you thank you for your Son, Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider being a child of God by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, turning away from sin. It's called repentance. Confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord, being buried in water for the remission of sins. Or maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Let us pray for you. You pray for us as we stand and as we sing the service of the nation.